Hey everybody, welcome back. Another episode of Last Christian. This is our Bible study show, and we're going to have a good time today. This one is, we're going to be talking about the serpent. Who is that? So there's some interesting stuff that's out there. On top of the interesting, we're going to have to really pray on this show because we're poking the devil in the eye and peeing on his shoe. So, JD, you're going to have to come in and pray us into this show.
I'll be happy to do that. Father, we come to you and we praise your name, Father, and for everyone here in the United States of America, happy Thanksgiving. Let's remember to give thanks to who deserves it, and that is our Father above. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the teaching that David is bringing us today, and we hope to reach that individual that needs to receive salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's get this out of the way. The Black Friday sale is actually going on even now for Everyday Dose.
Amen.
And, you know, we talk about it a lot because I drink the coffee. It really is really good. It doesn't give me agita and doesn't keep me up at night. I actually drink it now when we're recording because it's like calms me down. It's cool. But more than that, the reason we say it now is because the Black Friday sale is 85% off.
Boom.
So hurry up. Get over there. Use that code, Hidden Day, everydaydose.com/hiddenday, Hidden Day, and you'll get those cool discounts. 85% off, bro.
Yeah, that's
I'm
incredible.
I'm thinking of buying it again for myself.
Yeah, I got to place an order.
So get out there and do it before they run out.
Amen.
And then little cool bit of history about Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So we all get the whole story. The Puritans came over and they wanted to do like a thing. So they were a little bit more Hebraic kind of people. I don't know if you knew that, but the Puritans, if you celebrated Christmas, they would lock you up.
Yeah.
That was a pagan holiday, and it was illegal to celebrate Christmas. But they did do their own form of a Sukkot, which is the Feast of Booths, and they called it giving thanks. So that's what they did, and that's how it all started. And it was a little bit earlier, more towards the Sukkot end of things. I think a couple countries still do it in October or something like that. But it was like a Gentile version of Sukkot, but I don't think they had the booths, though. They got the harvest and they wanted to praise God for the harvest, so they just kind of made their own little thing at the harvest time. And then it was like in October here, and then finally Lincoln made it a national holiday, and then they changed it from this Thursday to that Thursday because they wanted more shopping days for Christmas. And here we are.
And here we are. Thanksgiving, you know, 2024.
Yeah, now it's about football and tryptophan, you know.
Yeah.
So we're just going to stay home and eat meatloaf because I'm not a big fan of turkey.
I love turkey.
All right, you can have all of mine.
Okay.
I'm eating meatloaf and some steak. I got a ribeye too.
Well, that steak's pretty good. I don't know. I might take the ribeye over a turkey, but, you know.
Yeah, 100% for me. Yeah, turkey and me, we don't get along.
Oh, okay.
Because then you're falling asleep. And you're like,
Yeah, it does do that to you, that's for sure.
So that's a brief history of Thanksgiving that may or may not be accurate, but it probably is.
Well, now, I will tell everybody before you get going here that David actually sent me I've asked for him, and he sent me notes for today. That way, I'm a little bit more ready for what's going on.
Catch him off guard.
At the same time, I haven't had time to read it yet, so I'll be doing that a little bit as he's talking.
Oh, yeah, but you can follow the notes along. If anyone else wants the notes, just let me know. I'll send them to you. TheHiddenDay@ProtonMail.com. TheHiddenDay@ProtonMail.com. We'll send you all the notes. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Now, we are in Genesis chapter 3 because it's been almost a year. Why wouldn't we be all the way up to chapter 3?
Right.
And so we talked about a lot of things. So what was your favorite thing so far that we talked about?
Oh, man. I got to go back quite a way, back to the study of the stars. I really thought that was cool because
yeah.
And the reason for that is because all my life I was taught, don't do that. You know, that it was, you know, sacrilegious or something. I don't know. But whenever you explained it in the proper context, then it really, you know, it grabbed me. And, you know, and so that, honestly, that's probably my favorite thing, is understanding that the stars really told the entire story. And that's just awesome. Yeah.
And, you know, what we did, it literally just kind of opened the not even the door. Mm-hmm. You know that little eye peephole got in the door to look out to see who's knocking? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's literally what it was compared to what I'm coming up with. There's so much more that it's all written in the stars, because he said that. It's all in the stars. Why do you think he made quadrillions of stars? Because it's a big story to tell.
Yeah. Well, you know, what was cool also is that, what was it, April, when we had the prophecy conference there in Dallas. And for those of you, David and I are friends, we stayed in the same room, and he gave me an advanced look at what he was going to be talking about the next night at the conference. So I kind of got a double hit of the study, and it was really, really good. Really good.
I think I'm out of the time period in that too. I'm going to be putting that up on the site shortly.
Okay.
All right, because you know, here the Watchmen, they we let them have that in their archives for a period of time until, and then I could put it up on mine after it's made the rounds over there. That's just awesome. The right thing to do.
Yeah.
So today we're going to be talking about this serpent.
Okay.
And there's so much conjecture about this serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Who was this serpent, or what was this serpent? What did it look like? You know, why was it called a serpent? Yada, yada, yada. So in chapter 3, and right in the beginning, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, You may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die." So we get an idea of his nature here right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. What was the first thing he did?
Let's say original temptation, right?
Well, the temptation, we call it that, but What's the first thing he like actually did? This is a lie.
Well,
like, right out of the gate, you shall not surely die.
Yeah. Well, see, what I was going by is the fact that we had talked about earlier in previous shows that the serpent and the people, Adam and Eve, had been together for a while. It's not like they just popped up on the very same day. And so like, that's the reason I called it the first temptation. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. In Jubilees, he was there for 7 years, and it says 7 years exactly.
Okay.
So you can find it.
Okay.
I think that was chapter 3 as well, in Jubilees. Yep. And the 6 days of the second week we brought according to the word of God, and Adam made them, so he named them, so Cleve unto his wife, after Adam had completed the 40 days. 33 days, but in the case of, let me see. All the beasts, okay, on the move. All right, where is it? And be alone, okay, from her husband. First week, the rib, okay, there it is. After Adam completed four, there we go. That's the reason for that. In the case of the female, sorry about that, I'm jibber jabbering here.
No, you're fine. Down, I hit you up with something that you weren't ready for. It's okay.
Yeah. I thought I opened up the wrong tab. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's right in the middle of chapter 3 over there.
Okay.
In Jubilees. Now, in Jubilees 3:17, it says, "And after the completion of the 7 years, so the 1 week, which he had completed there, 7 years exactly, and in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, the serpent came and approached the woman. And the serpent said to the woman, Hath God commanded you, saying, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And she said to it, Of all the fruit of the trees of the garden, God hath said unto us, Eat. but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said unto us, ye shall not eat thereof, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she kind of opened the door to that, because God didn't say don't touch it.
Right. She added to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she added to the terms and conditions of this original contract, and that's where the serpent jumped in and said, okay, I see a breach in this contract, let me double down on it. So he comes along and he says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that on the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, you will be as gods, and you will know good and evil. And the woman saw the tree, that it was agreeable and pleasant to the eye, and it was good for food, and she took thereof and ate. Mm-hmm. And then she covered herself with fig leaves. So we see that. So he jumped on that opportunity of her misquoting the contract, and he comes in with a lie. Because technically, so here it is. If that was just an out-and-out lie, mm-hmm. she probably wouldn't have believed it.
Right.
You know,
right?
Mm-hmm. But she didn't have any other reason to disclaim. I mean, she's been there 7 years with mm-hmm. this guy, mm-hmm. Whatever it is, and was obviously communicating because they were talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the serpent approached the woman, so she didn't have any fear apparently at that point, because he approached her and she was talking to him. Mm-hmm. But at this point, she opened a little crack, misquoted it, and he jumped in and said, technically, he's right. He didn't say, if you touch it, you shall die. Mm-hmm. So he said, oh, you surely won't die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then he backed it up and said, yeah, because, you know, if you eat of it, you'll be like God. So he said two different things, but he tied them together. That's the subtleness and the deceitfulness of that lie.
Yeah.
But he was a liar from the beginning. That's what Jesus said. He's a liar right from the beginning. Therefore, right. Now we know that is his nature. Think of that, folks. Any time the devil brings something against you, okay, and he says, oh, you're no good, you're this, you're that, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Your grandfather did this, your father did that, and you're going to do it too, and Murphy's Law and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Right out of the gate. Oh, Satan's a liar, so the opposite must be true.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right out of the gate. He says, you're no good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, I'm very good then, because Satan said it and he's a liar.
Yeah.
It's right from the beginning. He can't even open his mouth without lying.
Right.
So he got tired of doing that to me after a while, because, you know, he said, oh, remember this, remember that. But, mm-hmm. oh, that's right. I'm the opposite of that. Thanks for reminding me.
So that's how you handle it, and how I handle it is, oh, yeah, you brought that up on me, huh? Okay. Well, let me tell you something. In the mm-hmm. end, you know where you go? You know, and I'll go into like a 5-minute deal of, you know, this is what's going to happen to you, and this is going to happen to you, and, you know, I'm going to be living in heaven, and you're going to be living in hell, and, you know, and all of a sudden, whatever it was, it goes away. You know, I mean, that's how I handle it, but, you know.
Yeah. Because that's fun to slap them around a little bit.
It is. Yeah.
Most of the time I'm busy. You know, like I'll do something else. But sometimes I'll come out and I'll do that.
Yeah.
Like I said, pee on his shoe, you know, something. Yeah, come here. I got something for you. Hold this.
Love it.
Anyway, so now we're like, all right, here's the serpent. The word is nachash
in the Hebrew. Okay.
Nachash. It's like a like you're trying to hawk up a loogie. Like that girl that got famous for saying something stupid like that. So it's nachash. So let's look up the word.
Okay.
The word nachash is built from another word, is similar to nachash. It means to hiss or whisper a magic spell.
So that's where hissing came from, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so that's where we get the picture from,
mm-hmm.
and generally to prognosticate. Remember, we always talk about prophecy is not prognostication.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we see all that here. That's why we see the picture of the snake, because there's a hissing, mm-hmm. or like to whisper a magic spell, because remember, those are contracts too. So he's trying to whisper this spell over her at this time,
mm-hmm.
saying, oh, you won't surely die, but you'll be like gods. Remember Mowgli in Jungle Book?
Okay. Been a long time, but I remember it. Yeah. Okay.
And then the lion goes, "Oh, stop. I haven't got time for that nonsense." That was funny. But it tells that picture. Here's a lion smacking the serpent in the head, telling him to shut up. But it's generally to prognosticate. So that's where we get all this from, the prognostication, the spells, the hissing, the whispering, okay, because they're all forms of a contract.
Okay.
So that's where we get the name Nakash, and we just, now in English it means serpent, and we think of the snake. Mm-hmm. And you can see our bigger picture here. It even had, you know, arms and legs at that time, apparently, because...
Yeah, I'll throw it back up there real quick. And by the way, for everybody out there, yeah, it's obviously AI, and I'm obviously still not all that good at it, but...
That one came out good.
Yeah.
But it shows, it's got the legs, because now he's got to walk on the ground in the dirt. Mm-hmm. So even the word study dictionary says it's a verb meaning to practice divination, to observe omens. Mm-hmm. And it describes a pagan practice of seeking knowledge through divination. So we see all this definition in The Serpent Was Subtle. Mm-hmm. And that's expressly forbidden by the law of Moses. So
okay. We
can see just the name itself, Nakash, means all of what we would think that this witch serpent would do. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, it embodies is, you know, description in nature, really.
I wonder now, and you may not know the answer to this crazy question, but was the serpent always bad? I mean, held back for 7 years, or did Satan come and occupy that at this particular time?
You know, that's a really good question. Now, and that's one of the things we wanted to talk about, so let's jump into it right now.
Okay.
Is it the snake and then the Satan, you know, the fallen angel has inhabited it because of its nature? Possibly. Or was it actually a serpentile being? Was it really one of the seraphim? You know, did he have seraphim features? Because they were, you know, they got a lizard-like features, the seraphim.
Mm-hmm.
And... but God made him to be beautiful, but now, you know, is he doing that? So my view, it's kind of a hybrid of both of those, because yeah, it embodies everything there, but yes, he was inhabited by the fallen angel too, to come in because of the nature of it and because of its possibilities. Remember, spiritual beings technically can't do anything on the earth. You know, they can't lift things up and carry them around. We have been given dominion over that realm, and that's what he wanted. All right. And if we read his stories in Enoch, they wanted to have their, you know, they wanted to have all the wonderful things. Oh, look at those beautiful women. We want them, but we can't because we're not physical. So they're like, okay, let's become physical for a little bit, and then we'll have these kids and we'll do all this stuff. So that's where they left their first estate, is what the New Testament says, or oikaterion. They left there first. It's like, you weren't supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be in that physical world. You're supposed to be in the spiritual world. You're over here. Right. But you left that to come over here, and now you have to go to hell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now you don't get any estate. You go into the black hole, the abyss of nothingness, where everything opposite of God is.
Okay.
So that becomes the question, was it a literal snake? Okay, I think it was, but it also had all these other characteristics that were involved in it because Satan used it. There are some that will, and this is why it's important to read, you know, some of the other books to get some idea, because the 7 years gives us a lot of context here, you know, because some will come along and say, oh, it, you know, he must have been around for thousands of years ruling the earth, and then here comes Adam coming along. Because if you read it as, like in Genesis is a squished version. It's the, what do they call that, those notes, the cliff notes.
Cliff notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically cliff notes of the whole story, because that's all you need for salvation. Mm-hmm. But then he says there's other books that explain everything. And this is where it gets explained. And if we just read Genesis, oh, he created Adam and Eve, he named the animals, and then Satan deceived Eve. You'd think it was like bing, bing, bing.
Right, right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, no, there was a period of time in there. So when you think it's bing, 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 well, Satan must have been around for a while in order for him to have this, you know, this big head, so to speak. And so they create this gap theory of all this stuff that happened beforehand in all these mountains and lands. And then Satan and his cohorts were kings over all the earth for 50,000 years and all this stuff. And it's like, no, it doesn't say that at all. It says in Jubilees, it tells you all of the angels, every last one of them was created on day one. Read Jubilees in chapter 2. So it answers that question. They were created on day one, and this is their role in their job. So now we're saying, okay, 7 years is a long enough time for him to think, why? I'm so beautiful. How come I'm not the apple of God's eye?
I was just going to say, you know, Satan had a good run for 7 years, and that was it. He was done. It's amazing that, you know, that he was created and knew all this stuff and saw everything that was happening and still thought he was.
Yeah, and he was the huppah. The huppah is a covering angel. Right. If you even Jewish weddings today, they put a covering over the wedding because it's so sacred and it's basically to cover it. So he was a covering over the throne. He was supposed to be a symbolic of the protection of the throne. And he would praise music according to what it looks like from the Bible. He was pipes, so he would actually create music, and he would lead the choir and all this stuff that we can kind of surmise from some of the stuff in the Bible. It might be interesting to look that up elsewhere too, but that just went to his head. And you know, one simple, tiny little thought: "Oh, I'm so beautiful; they should worship me." Mm-hmm. And boom, there you go; you're done. No, you are not the creator. Sorry. So he takes that same theme and rolls it over onto Eve here. Well, you'll be like God. Well, they're already like God.
Right.
We were created in his image and after his likeness. So there's so much subtlety in all of that, where he snuck in, where she opened that crack in the contract with the neither shall you touch it. He snuck in there and used that to say, oh, you surely won't die. And now he gets in there and he's like, if I can get her to sign over that contract to me, then I can own the earth. You see? So now he's going to inherit all of this wonderful creation that God had made, because it was way more wonderful than it even is now.
So his plan basically was to take over the earth. Get rid of the people, right? But but take over the earth, and then him and his angels get to live on the earth, and God's out. He's got to do something else. That was his plan. Of course, it didn't work, but that was his plan.
Right. That was the plan, because, you know, if he can somehow manipulate that contract, then he's got a legal document that says, I am now the title deed owner of this stuff. And that's the document we see in Revelation.
Yeah, had that worked for him, then he would have been literally the God of Earth, because the angels fallen angels were following him. So, you know, he would have been getting all the praise and all that. But he didn't think that he didn't think that through, obviously, because that was never going to happen.
Now we look at it from out here and say, that's ridiculous. That couldn't even possibly happen. But in his mind, that's what he's thinking. Hey, if I do this, I'll be able to take over all this stuff, and then I could be the ruler of the universe and say, we have the power. Oh, that's He-Man. So there we are. That's what he's trying to do. But he was trying to do, and you got to do everything legally. Everything in the universe is a contract. So he was trying to usurp the contract from Adam and Eve. And he said, let me look for the weaknesses, the cracks in the armor here.
Right.
And that's what happened. So Satan used the serpent as a vessel. So yes, it's symbolic of him, but he also used this serpentile being to do that. And so that's kind of where I sit with it. And I'm open to other interpretations if you can show me where, but that's what I'm kind of looking. It's one of those things where, you know, he's trying to explain the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, and ninth, and tenth dimension to us who live in these three dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
and or even four with time. And we just can't understand it. So he's given us all this typology to help explain it.
And we
can see that he's definitely the serpent of old is the devil, because that's in Revelation 12, 9 and 20, verse 2. We can jump over to that. Actually, let's do that in the second half. We're almost out here. Let me get a couple topics, but remind me to get into Revelation on that too. So now, another thing we'll talk about in the second half is it symbolic or like a metaphorical serpent? Okay. So there are scholars who do this. It's Satan or a demonic presence. Some surmise that it might be Azazel of the book of Enoch. But, you know, Satan is basically, you know, the deceiver, the adversary. So that's just a name because of his characteristics. So which one was it really? Was it Azazel? I don't know. It's possible with the stuff he did, which would also lead us to say, well, it wasn't a third of the angels then either, because we don't see that until the book of Revelation. That a third of the stars fell, and we just assume that was the angels coming down, a third of the angels that went with Satan. But Enoch talks about there's 200 of them, so that's not that many.
Yeah. Of course, instead, you don't have to have very many angels for it to go to. Anyway, well, we are almost out of time in the first half, and what I want to jump in here and let everybody know is on our next show, we're going to welcome back Mark Sutherland. He is our UK contributor, and we're going to get his perspective of what is going on right now over in Europe, along with Israel. I know the United Kingdom has kind of gone nuts here. They're talking about possibly putting boots on the ground in the Ukraine and that kind of thing. And so I want to get Mark's ideas as to how he thinks things are going. And, you know, are there any catastrophic events going on right now in Europe or in the United Kingdom? Because we know that God does not like it when a country or even an individual goes against Israel. So just something to look forward to. Sorry, David, I didn't leave you, but about 10 seconds.
Listen, if we don't make it back for the second half of the show, receive the Lord now, okay? Because the serpent's out to get you, and he's going to lie like crazy to do it. But Jesus loves you, and he won your heart.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
God is at work in your life. The problem is that we are too distracted by temporary things to see the big picture of what God is doing both in our life and in the world around us. God has called each of us to follow Him. What does that look like, and how do I do it well? We answer that question in our daily choices. My name is Norman Smith, and Run With Horses is a show dedicated to helping you thrive as a follower of Jesus. It is my goal to follow Jesus and pursue His work in my life with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're like me, you know that the journey isn't easy, and we do it better together. Join me on Revelation Radio for an hour of conversation and encouragement to keep on when times are tough. You can find Run With Horses on Revelation Radio at our new time each Saturday night from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. beginning November 4th. Keep running.
And we are back. And we're talking about, who is this serpent dude? Okay. And I know we're going to talk about in Revelation. So let's jump over to like Revelation, go to 12:9 first. All right. So right over here, it's pretty simple. And it says the great dragon was cast out. Okay. Well, let's back up a couple verses. Mm-hmm. So let me see. And this is where we were talking about before. And his tail drew a third part of the stars. So there's a great dragon in heaven, and his tail drew a third part of the stars and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And this is the wonder that John saw in heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
Okay, now how long is that exactly?
3.5 years.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I just wanted to make sure. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And God says that in many different ways. So for those who would poo-poo a seven-year period, Daniel specifically talks about an exact seven-year period, mm-hmm. and Revelation does it all the time, and he does it in three different ways. It cuts the 7 years right in half and says it a time, times, and half a times, which is 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. He talks about the 42 months, and he talks about this 1,260 days. Mm-hmm. All of them are prophetic years of 360 days, mm-hmm. and they speak to a seven-year period that he's right in the middle of here. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
Well, I've got to just jump in here because I know somebody's going to pick up on it, okay? Because you said 360 mm-hmm. days, and people are going to be yelling, oh, but there's 365 days. So you want to just kind of cover that in real quick and
365.23. All right, yeah, let's hit on that. Originally, before the earth was actually 360 days, and the months were divided up equally and different things. But do a little homework. Mm-hmm. All right, and we're just going to touch on this. Go to the year 701 BC and then search on calendar shift in 701 BC. Okay, and you'll find it coincides with Joshua's long day. Okay, because Joshua's long day, the sun did not go down, and neither did the moon. Mm. All right, there was a major celestial event which basically flipped the earth, so the sun didn't go down. Okay, mm-hmm. so we had like mm-hmm. a polar shift, and essentially the earth stopped spinning because of the polar shift. And if you do that, it would stay relatively in position for that time, but it would also change the orbit of everything around it. Okay, because now let's say Mars came by. It could have been Mars, could have been another huge planet thing or asteroid or something, but it was something huge. It would basically shoot, and then originally the Earth had 360 days and Mars had 720. It was a double thing. But technically, the orbits were not perfectly round and they were not sequential. They came close to each other once in a while because they crossed. The paths actually crossed. So we see the same thing on the 3-hour eclipse when Jesus was crucified. Yeah. We see this Joshua's long day, and we see even during the flood what happened to cause the whole Earth to crack open. There was an event that God put in his time clock and said, okay, put it all out. And he said, this is going to happen. So that's when it went from 360 days to 365 and a quarter about. But you can look that up. Pretty much every calendar you look up, all the civilizations around the planet had tried to figure out how they're going to fix this, because and they all changed their calendar in a different way. To the point where we finally ironed it out to exactly what we have today. But the Jews add an extra month, 9 out of 17 years, they add an extra month. The Essenes, they just keep it on a 1 week shift, and they add 1 day between each of the, they call ketufas. So on all the equinoxes, they would put an extra day, which is not part of any month. It's just like an extra shove it in between. So there's 4 days. But then every once in a while, they would have to add a week, and they would just keep it on that week schedule because they believed in the Shabbat. And like Passover was always on a Tuesday or the, you know, the third day. So they would keep it in concordance with that 7 day time frame and shift it around there. So there's a lot of different calendar shifts. Just look it up. 701 BC.
Okay. Will do.
Did you do it yet?
Not yet, but I will.
Not yet. Okay. Now there was, talks about the woman who fled into the wilderness, and then Michael and his angels fought against a dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. And neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay? So here we find out who it is. The great dragon, who he sees in the sky. That old serpent, right? That's who we're talking about now, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, and he deceived the whole world, and he was cast onto the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Okay. So who were his angels? It said over here, it said a third of the stars went with him. Okay. Now, that's interesting. His tail drew a third of this part of the stars. Are the, does the stars represent the angels? It does in many places. They're like, there's one star for each angel. They kind of like a mile marker. Hey, where's your cup? Oh, it's over here. You know, or there's my place marker. They're playing Monopoly, and they all got their little pieces. So it's not, they're actually the angels, but representative markers for the angels. But you got to remember something. Now, let's back up even before that. Where's John at this point?
He's on the island, right? Island of Patmos?
Yeah, he's on the Isle of Patmos. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Does he have an iPad?
No.
Okay. Does he have a telephone he can call a friend?
Nope.
All right. So what's he doing there?
Well, now he's serving time, right? I mean, he's a prisoner.
So they're going to give him any luxuries?
None. Zero. No.
Okay. So what's he do at night?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to think that maybe he's got the dreams coming to him. That's just a guess.
Well, he's got some dreams, but look at what he said here in chapter 12. Okay. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Whoa. So he's looking up into the sky. What else has he got to do except sit there and stare at the sky at night?
Okay.
So God's like talking to him because there's a great wonder in heaven. At this point, he doesn't say it's a vision. He said he's looking up at heaven.
Well,
yeah, we know this is a vision because there's stuff in there. Oh, but he says, oh, and then I saw this vision and I heard that vision. But this one, he says, there's a great wonder in heaven. So he's looking at the stars right here. And what does he see? A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. That's Virgo.
Okay,
the virgin, because they knew all this with the Maseroth. So there's Virgo, the virgin. The moon was under her feet, and upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. If you, it's way too long to get into now, but look at the crown of 12 stars that are above Virgo.
Okay.
She's literally wearing a crown of 12 stars, and this relates to Joseph's dream. So we know who this is because it was Joseph's dream that he talked about it. And she was with child and cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. Now, at times, Jupiter, which, you know, the pagans stole Jupiter and made it their, you know, their giant pagan god. He wasn't that. Jupiter was the king star because it was the biggest one out there. And it was one of the wandering stars because, you know, the planetes in Greek means wandering. Mm-hmm. So here's all the stars are pretty much still, except for these particular, there's a handful of stars that are wandering, mm-hmm. and they knew what they were. So they're called wandering stars or planetes. So we know them as planets today. They would wander. And you know, because of the orbits, they do what's called a retrograde. They'll go, but because mm-hmm. we pass it one way or the other, it would actually look like it's looping around.
Yeah, okay.
So it looks like sense. It's going backwards at one point. It's called mm-hmm. a retrograde. Mm-hmm. Now, here we have the king planet doing a retrograde in the middle of the constellation of Virgo. So we have, and he just came out of Leo the lion.
Okay.
So now here he is. Here's the lion. And he just came out of there. So here's the lion starting the cycle, being born in the Virgo, in the Virgin.
Okay.
And guess how long the retrograde is?
I'll
give you a clue.
Okay.
How long does a baby take?
9 months.
Yes. The retrograde is 9 months inside. So here's the king of king doing a retrograde inside the Virgin for 9 months. And then the dragon comes out and tries to steal it. Who's that? Like Harry.
Yeah,
you know,
it's gotta be
let me kill the baby.
Yeah, it's got to be Satan. Mm-hmm.
So he tried to devour the child as soon as it was born.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this whole story plays out all over the place. Started with the stars because he put them there before.
Oh,
and she brought forth a man child.
Before you move on, the year 701 BC was a year of the pre-Julian Roman calendar. In the Roman Empire, it was known as year 53. I don't even know how to pronounce this part. Ob herb condita. The denomination 701 BC for this year has been used since the early medieval period when the Annan Domitia calendar era became mm-hmm. the prevalent method in Europe for naming years.
Yes.
That's just basic. I mean, I didn't go into depth. That's just it.
Anno Domini, the year of our Lord.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then you got Anno Mundi, which is the year of the earth. But yeah, so that you see pre-Roman, because they changed the calendar. And that's because that was Joshua's long day. And even China's got a big old legend that says, oh, it was nighttime for a whole day.
surprise. Huh?
And you know what is, even when the earthquake hit, when Jesus was crucified, the earthquake hit the whole, it shook everything, and it was dark over in China too.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude's like, oh, this is the combination of the yin and the yang. Is it the Chinese emperor at the time? He says, this means that the God became a man to pay for the sins of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he knew.
Wow.
In China. He's like, I wonder who that is.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah, look that one up.
Yeah. Okay, I will.
Yeah, and then look at the Chinese letters and how they all, and the characters and how they all speak of the flood. That's fun and exciting. So here we got the devil or the serpent and the third part of the star. So he sees this. And now imagine a third part of the stars coming down. Now remember, we're in Revelation and we're seeing all this chaos coming by, and we see now this dragon coming down trying to do all this. So here comes, what is this dragon coming out of there? Well, there's Draco that's up there. Mm-hmm. And Draco, if you got an asteroid coming out, John's looking at this thing and he's like, oh, that means he's spitting out fire, trying to devour this. And then the asteroid would have all the debris behind it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've ever been in a meteor shower? It looks like third of the stars are falling from heaven.
Yeah.
So it fits the narrative. That's what I surmise, is he was looking at the stars. He was reading the Matzaroth, and then all of a sudden this probably a meteor or an asteroid or something came by, all the debris came down, and a third of the stars were thrown to the ground with it. So we probably should look that up and see. Somewhere around 95 AD was there an asteroid. So that's cool. So Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angel, and he prevailed not. Neither was there place found in heaven anymore. This is where we see Satan thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that. he's not in hell now, and he still was able to tempt Jesus and say, hey, I'll give you all this stuff if you just worship me. And this is how subtle he is. He says, oh, you're hungry? Well, simple, just turn this stone into bread. And people think, it's just him tempting Jesus because he's hungry. Had nothing to do with his hunger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what it had to do with. He remember, he's thinking in contract terms. Mm-hmm. Oh, if you just worship me, then I'll inherit all this stuff eternally, and you won't take it back from me because now the contract. Mm-hmm. So what was he saying about the bread? Well, surely God Almighty can turn that into bread, correct? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he is indeed God Almighty. However, why did he come to the earth?
Well, to give us salvation, mm-hmm. or to provide the way out. Right.
That's right. And how did he do that? What was the mode of transportation for that? Remember, of like kinds of contract says he has to be a man.
Okay. Okay.
Right? Because you can only pay for the contract. So if at this point Jesus acted as God, he would disqualify himself for paying for the sins of mankind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the sneaky trick that the devil was trying to pull.
Mm-hmm.
It says, oh, you're God. You can turn this stone into bread.
Yeah, I always thought it was because he was following instructions. You know, and he shouldn't follow the instruction of anybody else except God. That was before today. That's how I always looked at it.
Right. Well, that is true. And that does definitely here. But what was the ultimate delusion that Satan was putting across?
I got you. Yeah, I got you.
If he got Jesus to act in any manner as Almighty God while he was here, he would have disqualified himself from being a man and would not be able to pay off your sins.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he say something about... you know, angels jump down and make sure your foot doesn't hit a rock and all that kind of stuff. You know mm-hmm. that's basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Well, unless he dash your foot against a stone, he says, mm-hmm. but you don't do it on purpose. Mm-hmm. Don't tempt God with that. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to jump off the Empire State Building now because God said he'll catch me. Mm-hmm. No, if you were pushed off, maybe. But no, not if you're going to do it on purpose, just right. Like, hey, let's play.
Okay, yeah,
I got you. We can do that later with our own bodies. We can jump off and fly around.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But we're not going to do that now, which leads me to, you know, as ambassadors, we have a contract of Secret Service angels. Secret Service because angels. We're ambassadors, so we got our own Secret Service. That's pretty cool. So this was, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren was cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So that's where he was. He's mm-hmm. right now, because he's not cast down yet, he's before God. As in this word, accuser is a kategoros. Mm. Guess what word we get from kategoros?
Oh, what comes to my mind is probably not right. Category?
Yes, 100%. That's where we get our word category from.
Okay.
Okay. And that's, if he puts you in a category, mm-hmm. then that's what he, so he's trying to, he's against one in the assembly. So mm-hmm. it comes from two different words, and that's where we get it from. It comes from kata, mm-hmm. which means it's basically a participle, down. Mm-hmm. And then agora is, let me see, to... akin to probably the thoroughfare, the one who's standing there accusing you. Okay. That's a category. So he's putting you in a category. All right. And that's, we get racism from that. Oh, you're this color.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mm-hmm. do this. Oh, you're that color. Well, you do that. He's putting you in a category of being a sinner. And that's where we get the word. That's the idea of the word. It's more of a like a an accuser, a complainant at law, one against the assembly. But that's where we get our word from, category. Oh, you're in a category. Okay, so we use it a little differently in English.
Let me jump in again just for a second, yeah, because I promised I'd do this. It says, the quote that you were talking about earlier is a quote from the Chronicles of Emperor Guangwu, who reigned from 25 AD to 47 AD in China. And his exact quote, summer, fourth month of the year, on the day of Renwu, the imperial edict reads, Yin and Yang have mistakenly switched, and the sun and the moon were eclipsed. The sins of all people are now on one man. Pardon is proclaimed to all under heaven. And that's in China at the time.
In China. He had no idea who this Jesus fellow was.
No clue. Right. That's impressive.
But he knew because of the signs and the stars, because they came from Noah too. So they knew the whole story just as well as we do, you know. And but now he knows. And yeah, send that to me, actually. And send it out to anyone who emails me and says, I want that.
Be happy to.
So there's the accuser, this serpent fella. Okay. So now we start to see, well, is it symbolic or metaphorical, this serpent? Well, Revelation says that it was him. Okay. So to me, I do think it's that hybrid, that it's a literal creature, but Satan basically embodied him, possessed him, if you would. Okay. And the curse on the serpent in Genesis 3:15, often called the proto-evangelium or the first gospel, speaks of enmity between the serpent and the woman's offspring.
Right.
And that's what we see in the stars. We see, when we get into the Maseroth again, in the big one, you'll see how Draco the dragon is trying to get the virgin and kill the baby, and then he comes back and he wins, and then pours out a river, and then there's judgment. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. So we got there. That was one. Let's go to two.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm looking at this, and we barely touched it. So we're going to be on here for a while, I think.
But listen, there's tons of notes, folks. I'll send them to you. But, okay, so that's the Christian tradition. He's called the devil and Satan. Now there's a Jewish tradition as well, as a literal animal, and I think sometimes they get lost in the mix, because, you know, if you go into the Talmud, it's basically they don't revere the word so much as, hey, what did, you know, Rabbi Gohoyevitz say about the word?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a name, but sounds like it.
Maybe in some
pretty fly for a rabbi. Yeah. So, and that's that. Actually, you know, let's veer off a little bit. That's where the Zadok priests. Because Zadok was considered righteous, and so the Zadok priests basically became the Essenes, and then they said, "We are, you know, we're the rightful priests of here." But these people, you know, and they would fight, and then they'd kill people to get the power. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they would fight under two different things, kind of like the politics today. They fight to get the power when the real power is in the church. The church should be ruling.
Now, the Essene, I've been doing some research based on these studies. Explain to me real quick, and I know this is totally off subject, but the Levites were supposedly like the top of everything, from what I'm getting out of this.
Yeah, it was Levi, and it was
Aaron. To the temple and all that stuff, and then the Essenes, they... for lack of a better word, they predicted everything all the way through. But now the Essene, they're still there, but they're not the same Essene. That's what I'm...
Well, here's what happened. The real Zadok priests were very, very messianic. They were the ones that became the first Christians.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why you don't see them around anymore. So you you may, if you see someone that's called in the scene today, it's, you know, it's probably like a church that thinks it's a church today, you know, and I'm not going to name any denominations because then you'll get mad, but there's a bunch of them that think they're Christians and they're really not. That's right. Kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
But the real truest scenes, like John the Baptist, they, I'm convinced he was in the scene because of some of the language.
I saw that question asked. Yeah, I went and did some research on that, and I didn't find anything specific. But then again, I don't know how to. I didn't really know how to research it the way you know how to research it. So
yeah, I mean, it's a terminology that Jesus used. Okay, when he said, when John the Baptist, remember, he was in prison. He sent two of his disciples over. And because they, remember, at this time, they thought Jesus was going to take over and usher in Israel in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's what Matthew 24 is about. Mm-hmm. So John's like, are you the one, or shall we look for another? Because John's in jail. He's like, what's going on here?
Right.
Are you the one? And he told John, but tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk, and the dead are raised. Well, here's the thing. Mm. The Pharisees did not believe that the Messiah would raise the dead. Essenes knew that the Messiah would raise the dead, which is why he specifically said that to tell them to go to tell John.
So that's kind of the I see where you're going.
That's just one of them. Yeah, there's a few, but that's one. He specifically gave him language that only the Essenes would be aware of.
Okay. All right, makes sense.
Okay. And that's why we surmise that he was. Plus, if you read some of the other books of the time, he was the head of the school of the prophets, which was an Essene thing.
Okay.
And there's a lot of the prophets through history. Was it Samuel? He was the head of the school of the prophets. I forget which one, so forgive me. All right. So, but the Jews think it was a literal serpent. And they and it had no connection with Satan. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
None.
Okay. Because they haven't read Revelation, because these are just a Jewish tradition.
Right.
Okay. Now, there's also the serpent as a symbol of chaos or evil. So that's a Near Eastern symbolism. So he wasn't a real serpent. He wasn't a real person. It's just a symbol of chaos and evil, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, well, that's not what the Bible says.
He's really there. And then a representation of Satan's presence. Okay, so this is like quasi hybrid, where it wasn't real, but it was just a representation of Satan's presence. No, Satan was really there.
Yeah,
it was really a serpent. Okay, and he really took over, and he really did all this stuff. Amen. Just like the Antichrist. Okay, the Antichrist is going to be a real man that he's going to kill, and then bring him, you know, and then he's going to jump in that body and then say, hey, look, I'm back. Right. When he really isn't. It's just Satan in that same old guy.
Yeah.
All right. So, and then there's some that think he's like a mythological figure. All right. Mm-hmm. Representing like human temptation and a psychological interpretation.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of nonsense. Yeah, not even worth talking about, really.
Something to change the Bible. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's just something to, because if their idea is, if you can discredit the Bible, then you can discredit the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, and therefore you won't receive salvation. Which brings me to, Jesus did rise from the dead, and he rose from the dead for you. Okay, and now's the time to accept that contract that he's given you, because all hell is going to break loose on the earth and you don't want to be there. So Lord willing, we'll see you next time, either on the air or in the air. You guys have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter if you're an independent. The only thing that really matters is getting news that is correct. And you can only do that from the perspective of what God believes. If you want the real news and look at it from the lens of current events, tune in to The Last Christian every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net.